All right, everyone, we are back once again. It is another episode of Inside City Limits. We have the full crew today, myself, Mike, and Trevor. We are going to go over the frustrating 1-0 loss on Saturday against Colorado. For those of you who stayed up for the full 90 minutes after that weather delay that's kind of stopped us dead in our tracks, we're going to get to that, just kind of react to the game itself. See how we're feeling going into next week, fellas. How we doing? We had a long weekend today. Everyone feeling refreshed? Everyone ready to go?
Refreshed, but still disappointed with City's performance, per usual.
Much like the St. Louis City lineup, same old, same old. Am I right, guys?
Oh, it was good until you said the "Am I right, guys?" And I feel like all the credibility went straight back down.
I disagree.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree. We can talk about the lineup. I mean, I think there's a reason that we kind of haven't really done a lot of predictions and reactions to the lineup because it's just the exact same. Like once JGR started getting starts, we're still seeing the same front three, the same three at the back. And nothing's changing on the field in the result column either.
I don't think anything's gonna change in the result column until we start getting guys healthier. Maybe as soon as Leuven comes back, we'll start seeing some more points. But yeah, kind of the same old result with the same old starting 11.
Didn't Albert Einstein say doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity?
Definition of insanity is starting Yarrow every fucking game.
I'm pretty sure that Yara was like our second highest rated player, which tells you a lot. I didn't think that he was like awful, but I'm pretty sure that he. I saw a lot of people blaming him for that goal in
I put
Colorado.
like 50% of the blame on that goal.
I'd
You
go
want to
higher than
just. I
50,
mean,
but I definitely wouldn't say it was all the RO's fault.
I think I said last game, look out for the number nine on like just whatever big attacker they have because he's going to be bodied up against Yarrow. And it, 3 games in a row, Yarrow's given up a goal. And it happened again this time. The ball was played in. Like the Yap, he takes what one touch down to his feet, turns around. Yarrow's 3 feet behind him with a slow reaction, and Berkey's frozen.
I do have a question about that goal. So how is Nilsson's an own goal then? Like how would that not be considered an own goal, but Nilsson's was?
Because it looked like it got deflected, didn't it?
It
Kind
definitely
it
no, it
deflected off
definitely deflected it.
Baumgartel's like right leg.
It was Yarrow deflected, wasn't it?
Like I don't know, I can pull it
I'm
up,
pretty
but
sure it was Yarrow's deflection. It definitely deflected off his leg and
yeah,
in.
it went on the inside of Yarrow's like Yarrow like
And
laid out and it went off his left leg like calf area. It was definitely like kind of hit right at Berkey, and then that deflection made it go to the corner. So it's definitely unlucky.
it was off a, I don't know, because it was off a slow closeout, which that's all. Like Yarrow does that so often.
Yeah,
I
his
think
reaction
three or
time is
four
just
of the goals
terrible.
on Yarrow this year because he just doesn't close out fast enough on
It's
him.
like that as soon as that attacker takes a touch, the attacker is already a half a step quicker going towards the ball, and Yarrow is still standing there. And then he has to lay out and try to make a, diving block because he's so late to that challenge and it just doesn't work. And it happened again. I mean, I think there's been 3 goals in the last 3 games with almost that exact description. The attacker takes a touch, Yarrow is late to make that tackle, and then it's in the back of the net.
Do you guys think that, and not this isn't just me making excuses, but do you think that the weather delay and the sitting around, like, do you think that has anything to do with maybe coming out and not being as energized or having enough, oomph in your play? Or do you think that it's just this team and where they're at? Because I see a lot of people online saying that the players have given up and that they don't care. And I feel like usually I try not to think like that, but you watch that game, you watch the last 8 games or however many it is, doesn't seem like this team cares a lot.
I don't think the team cares a lot. I don't think the weather delay had an effect on them because Colorado kind of controlled a little bit there early. And then the whole first half, I would say, was a little bit leaning Colorado, but the whole second half, City really controlled and they just can't. pretty sure they just can't freaking score. But I don't think the weather delay had an effect, but it definitely looks like the players aren't given 100%.
Everybody's checked out. It's to the point where it almost looks like Berkey's checked out. Only time, you know, Berkey, we all see Berkey. He's usually yelling. Mm-hmm. Almost loses his voice after every game, it seems like. But the only time he really yelled was when Yarrow deflected the goal in. I think that's an awful sign for our long-term retention of Berkey.
And you even said it immediately after the game was over. You're like, dude, he's gone. And I was like, but and I don't really think you can blame him. I think that he has been incredible since day one. And if he wants to go back to Europe or wants to go somewhere else, I think that you kind of have to, like we said last week, you got to let him do whatever he wants. Obviously, I want him to stay. I think losing him would be huge for this club. But I think he's earned the right to leave if he wants to.
That's a hot take.
I'm not saying it's a hot take, but I'm like, well, Ben Lunt's not a starter. He's not going to start long term. Then we're going to go and.
It doesn't matter who takes his place. You're losing the best goalkeeper in the league.
Absolutely.
You can't replace Absolutely. That with just anybody.
If you lose Berkey, I feel like you got to just. The tank is on. Just. You got to completely. I don't even know about front office wise and the manager, but I feel like that is. Like chapter one of this team with Berkey, those first couple years, the success, and then the tail off, and then you basically got to start over. Is that dramatic for me to say? I don't know. I'm trying not to lean too off.
I wouldn't
say
start over. I wouldn't say start over, because even though it's awesome to have Berkey, you can definitely have a decent season with an average goaltender. So I wouldn't say start over, but there's definitely not going to be as much hype, and you're definitely going to have to allocate that money into weaknesses. Like the back line right now, or just depth in general, because I don't blame 100% of these losses on the back line whatsoever. We can't score a goal, but you'll definitely have to, you know, get a Yara replacement.
I just feel like anytime I look at this roster, or like I equate it to like anytime I do a new career mode in FIFA, I'm putting at least half this team, if not 3/4 of it, on the transfer list immediately. Like, I just don't know, even if you do bring in a decent goalkeeper, like you say, oh, well, they can win games with somebody decent. They can't win games right now with Berkey in net. Like,
no, they would definitely have to spend that Berkey money elsewhere. Like, but they could win. They were doing fine with Lunt in net till we went on this spiral. But with the roster they have now, if Berkey goes, then yeah, I wouldn't say it's a tank, but you're not winning games.
We define doing fine when we won 1-5 with one.
Yeah. I guess it was more of a doing fine, as in Lunt wasn't costing us points. It was the team in front of him costing us points, not really.
I would agree
him.
With that. Because we've said like it multiple times, but if you would have said that Lunt was the goalie for this, you know, this chunk of the season when they were playing so poorly, and it wasn't a lot of blame to go around to him for that. Being the case, I would have been like, that's crazy. You know, I would have thought, oh, Lunt's in net. We are desperately missing Berkey. He's awful. We need the captain back between the pipes, between the posts. And that wasn't really the case. It was, I think for what you're asking of him, he did play really well. And it's just, even with Berkey back, I mean, it just still looks dreadful. We kind of mentioned Leuven, though. He did play 90 for City 2 this weekend. So I'm hoping that having him come back would be a big difference. I've seen a lot of people talking about the disconnectivity from the back line into the front three. Like, they need somebody in there to be able to push along the attack a little smoothly. I think Hartel does a good job of that when he's not in that front three. I think Leuven would be a much welcomed return to the lineup. Again, not a hot take, but I think once we get Totland back at full strength and Leuven back and Kessler back, this team could look a lot different. That's kind of why I'm like not fully Olaf out, because I want to see what he can do with a fully healthy roster if we can ever get there.
Yeah, there is. You can tell it's really hard to move the ball up the field without somebody, one of the midfielders right now, just taking it and running, kind of like Hartel did around like the 70th minute. just seems like as soon as we win the ball back, it's either given away or it's just not worked up properly. And then I think one thing Lubin could help, I don't know how you help without putting maybe Celio and Silva in there for a full 90. We are so bad on the counterattack. Anytime we have numbers going forward, we do not get a good chance out of it. And when we do get a good chance, of course, it's, you know, not finished toy shirt. But I think he could help, you know, play those final balls in. But that's been the story. One of the many stories of the season is how bad we are on the counter.
You hit the nail on the head. We look bad at playing the ball because he consistently sits the best players we have on the ball every game. So give him a healthy lineup and what? I think we still get this. I think we still see Watts more than Celio with a fully healthy lineup.
Which is crazy.
You saying you're not Olaf out, I think it's insane. It's crazy. It's 6 o'clock on the Monday, and I'm sitting here shocked that we haven't got he's fired yet. I mean, he's going to make the same mistakes with no matter what the lineup ends up being.
Not having Celio or Silva start is pretty crazy. I get Silva not starting because he's still new, but why is Celio not starting? You didn't start him in the midweek match, the cup game. I assumed to give him legs for Saturday, and he still doesn't start. Granted, he came on right at half, but
he's here for almost a month, or for over a month.
That's true, yeah.
And he's gotten minutes off the bench. I'm kind of with Trevor. If anything, it's like, okay, he's still getting acclimated, whatever that means. Stilio's got to be a starter. I don't know what the beef is with Olaf. I would think it has something to do with, like, not working hard and training, I guess. Because did you guys hear the comment they made about JGR? And they were talking on the broadcast on Saturday about, like, he basically demanded his way into the starting lineup with the way he was training. So I think that he really values, like, going all out in training and putting the energy and the effort in. And I guess maybe Celio's not doing that.
I value points, goals, assists. And Celio's one of your best out there at getting that type of stuff done for you. So I get it, though. Like, it's good that these guys are training hard and they put the work in off, you know, away from Saturday. But I'm sure Yaro does the same thing. But, like, you're losing every game now. You can't just keep going that. You can't have that line of thinking the whole time.
I kind of thought, you know, as the seat gets hotter and hotter and Olaf is thinking that he might not make it to the All-Star break or, you know, whatever, midway through the season, I would think, okay, well, maybe he would put Celio in. Or, like, you know, when the NFL coach gets desperate, sometimes they'll bench the shitty QB and put the young backup in and see if there's a spark. Like, I was thinking Silva and Celio out wide would be that, oh, fuck it, we'll give it a shot, and we still haven't even got to that point yet. I think he's going to be so stubborn that he's not going to make any changes at all until he gets fired, whenever that is.
I mean, what has he done this year to make you think he would change ever?
I feel like those first three games, he tinkered with the lineup, and that was it.
Go back and listen to the podcast of the last month, and I guarantee you we were saying the exact same stuff because he's making the exact same choices, the exact same mistakes. How many times in the history of sports has a star player and a coach not gotten along? And guess what? If he's one of the best players on the team, you got to play him. I don't care if you don't like him. At the end of the day, it's just about wins. Carnell got fired for less.
Absolutely. I feel like that we just talk in circles on this podcast, but it's genuinely because nothing is changing. Like, I don't know how many times we can ask for two different players to be in the lineup or for Yaro not to get a start and a full 90 minutes, which, again, I guess yesterday was the goal. Terrible. I'm not getting on that train. But I feel like I've said the same shit for months, and I have, because why would I say anything different? It's like, but the score predictions, they fucking suck. I'm not going to predict them to win 3-0 because that's just not going to happen.
We keep talking in circles because Olaf keeps doing the same shit over and over again, and it's getting the same result, so we complain about the same stuff. That's why we rant in circles. Like, nothing's changing, so it's hard to have anything new to talk about.
Speaking of ranting and complaining, did you guys, I know Mike, your big thing with him is the subs. Did you have any issues with any of the subs on Saturday? I like Cilio coming on for Watts at half. I the only thing I don't get is the Betcher Klaus sub at 60. I thought Klaus, I know he missed a couple chances, but I thought he was doing very well Saturday night, holding up the play, creating. It's just the finishing. That's everybody's problem.
Yeah, I don't get how you take Klaus off for before Toyshirt. Toyshirt disappears. Absolutely. Besides the two times a game he misses a wide open shot.
Yeah, I think Toyshirt should have. I think Silva should have came on. Cellier came on half, but I think Toyshirt should have been out before Klaus. I think Klaus had a couple good chances. He didn't miss any easy chances, and he created stuff. To where Toyshirt, missed probably the... I don't even know if... Oh, I'm just frustrated even thinking of his miss. Basically, had a breakaway from, half field. Didn't make a move, nothing, just shot it to the right. The goalie made a good save, don't get me wrong. All props to him. He stuck his left arm out there. But Toyshirt needs to bury that. I say it every week. We brought him in to finish. He didn't finish. I think he deserved to be out of the game before Klaus. And if you're going to bring Betcher or Silva on, it should have been for Toyshirt earlier on.
One of my issues that I'm going to touch on briefly before we can switch is... we always talk about how quickly he goes back to that low block. We ran a 3-4-3 at the start. He put three of our four midfielders were defensive. Watts, Durkin, and JGR. He just switched to starting in the low block now. He'd rather lose 1-0 than 2-0, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I don't care if we only give up one goal if we can't even at least get a point out of a 1-1 draw. Let me look at the numbers. I think we had 12 shots on Saturday. Three of them were on target on goal. I mean, that's awful, including one that was, like you said, a breakaway from half field. And you could say it was a good save, but I don't know. Your job is to score goals. And you're literally 1v1. It's like a fucking practice session. You don't cut to the side and go around. You don't curl it in. You just fucking send it. I don't know, dude. I'm tired of Toyshirt, to be honest.
Just strip it over him.
I thought it would be Klaus. I'm tired of Toyshirt.
He slid on the ground to get it.
Tired of him. He's done this shit all year. They all can't score. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm looking at it too negatively, but I think Klaus brings a little bit more in a well-rounded aspect than like a Toyshirt does.
Is this the third game in a row Toyshirt missed a one-on-one with the goalie?
It's at least two. Why I was getting so frustrated as I was talking about it.
How much do we pay him a year? I'm not ready to give up on him yet, just because of how well he looked last year, and I kind of think with a different coaching and playing style, we get that version back, but. We were pretty loud about Betcher this year. Let's not be quiet with Toyshirt.
I thought Hartel played well also. To be honest, I think him and Bumgardle were probably the two best players on the pitch. And I'm not just looking at the player ratings. I mean, I tweeted out at halftime that Bumgardle was incredible. I feel like he was making tackle after tackle. I think he's really settled into that back line after the kind of delay in playing him. I think he's responded well.
I think he should definitely start over Yarrow soon as Kessler comes back. I really don't want to see Kessler Yarrow out there. I'd rather see Bumgardle Kessler.
I know that we've talked about him at length. I guess maybe not so much recently, but I never thought that I would say that I want Kyle Hebert to be one of my starting defenders, but I'd be perfectly fine with a Hebert, Kessler, Bumgardle back three of center backs. Maybe put Horn out wide or like a Reed out wide. I don't know. Totland. I'd be perfectly fine with that back five. Matter if you're going to score one goal a game at best.
Defense is still the least of my worries, especially with Kessler coming back soon. Horn seems to be getting ready.
Yeah, I think...
I'm just...
soon as Kessler comes back, I think defense will be fine. I mean, we're not giving up many goals lately. Like, I mean, we're definitely not keeping them out of the net, but I still think in most of the defensive metrics, we're really not too far off. The two Minnesota games hurt that a little bit, giving up three back-to-back. But, you know, our losses to San Diego, we only gave up two. Lost to Colorado, only one. Sporting Kansas City, only two. So I still think our biggest issue is scoring.
I just – the front three, that's obviously the issue is scoring. But I just don't know – even when, like, in my head, one of the big and we talk Olof and the job security. Mike was like, how the fuck are you not Olof out or whatever? I'm the only thing that is keeping me slightly out of that category is once we're fully fit. That's what I keep saying. Once people are back from injuries and people are playing in the correct positions, I know he's talked about that a lot. If that happens, which it won't because there's never going to be a time where nobody's on the injury report with us, apparently. If it doesn't work after that, then you cut ties. But I just don't want to be reactive and do it too early. And then, because if you do fire him, I guess you can keep Lutz. But that's a real, I mean, you're starting from square one. I guess you'll have Hack. But I don't know, man. I'm just tired of the purgatory. Either let him go and start over, or at least say, hey, this is our guy, we're sticking with him. I feel like they haven't said shit.
Kind of like we said last episode, I just wish they would kind of talk more about what's going on behind the scenes. And I know you could say that about any organization in any type of sports setting, but like, I just feel like Lutz hasn't come out and said anything much of any like information based on like what their plan is the rest of the year, what they're looking to do with coaching, stuff like that.
And again, I feel like we've talked about that at not ad nauseum, but we've talked about that last week and we're still talking about it. I think communication would be key, but I don't know, man.
Ad nauseum?
What?
This is kind of a big word for you.
That's not a big word for... I was like, what? Did I say it wrong?
You got a dictionary open up or something?
Was it on your word of the day calendar?
I think it's had me worried.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I feel like this is going to be a shitty episode, but I just don't really have much else to say. I'm not getting to the point where I'm apathetic. Another big word.
Oh. Maybe. A lot of
calendar's coming in handy.
Give us one more.
I just... well, now I'm out. I don't know.
Those were the two he knows.
Those are the two typed out before.
Yeah. Those were the two that I haven't opened the calendar in a while. Those were the 2 months that I flipped through. But I don't know. I'm trying not to be too negative. We need some positivity, even though we are. I was like, come on. Even though we are like 5 points off the wooden spoon is what I've seen it being called. At least we're not in Montreal or L.A. We have that going for us.
We're 7 points ahead of L.A.
Oh, 7 points. Okay, excuse me.
L.A. hasn't won this year.
We're only 7 points off the team that hasn't fucking won a game all season.
I was going to say our job could be harder. We could be like a L.A. fans and have to do their podcast, but we could just bring up the prior year and I think heal a little bit.
That's what I'd be doing.
Absolutely. And they have Marco Royce. I'd be like, hey, we got some players on this team. Remember we won a championship?
They're probably saying the same thing. They're probably like, if we could just get healthy, see what's going on.
For us, it's, hey, remember when we won the one seed in our first season and then proceeded to get beat in the playoffs by our biggest rival? That was cool. Hey, remember when Bayer Leverkusen came to our stadium? That was cool.
Now we get Villa.
That was cool, by the way. Cole, we were there. Cole, you were there for that, right?
Yeah, we were freezing our ass off in the
supporters. Yeah, but I remember being like, oh, City might actually win, even though it's not our full squad, because usually these European teams don't bring a lot. They literally played like 10 of their 11 starters, and they just whooped us. I was like, come on, guys. Where's your B squad at?
That game and the Club America Leagues Cup game were the two times that I was just like, these teams are on a different level. Like, it's so much different than an MLS opponent. Do you think that they still do? Well, I guess they have to now. They're selling tickets. But how awkward is that Aston Villa friendly going to be if the manager that we have, the whole reason they're doing it, is gone by that time?
Maybe that's the only reason they're keeping him around.
I've seen people saying that. I mentioned it last episode. Like, people think that's a thing. And I'm like, there's no way, right? They wouldn't wait that long, right? I don't know. See, I don't know.
You know who's leaving their club?
Who's that?
Ronaldo.
Ooh, could you imagine if Ronaldo would have went to Kansas City? That would suck.
Oh my god. I remember that rumor. I would hate my life if
they had that the discovery rights for him.
Yeah.
Not that the MLS would have allowed that to happen, but
we'll probably make a new roster rule.
Orlando.
He's going to Orlando.
Maybe
I was going to say they'd probably make a new fucking roster rule to get him in Miami.
No, they don't want Messi and Ronaldo to play each other, like, with each other. They want to play against
That'd
each other.
That'd be cool. Hey, Kaká went there. Ronaldo can go there.
It was cool they got Kaká. I remember when Orlando came into the league, I was actually an Orlando fan there for a couple of years. And then as soon as the rumors started to swirl about St. Louis getting a team is when I switched.
I went to one New England Revolution game and then was a fan of them for like a year until I realized that I just couldn't watch their games because this was a while ago. Then I kind of rooted for the team in Kansas for a little bit because they were the closest option.
Ooh.
But yeah, I'm being brave to bring that up.
With your track record, I would not have said that.
Maybe I don't have a track record, though. There is no track record.
You know, City's in a rut. We're here talking about everything but City in the MLS.
Yeah, I don't know what else to talk about. I don't know because we're gonna say the same five talking points that we have.
I can do my thumbs up, thumbs down on the goal we gave.
All right, I like that. All right, let's hear it.
Honorable mention: thumbs down to Toy Shirt for just being himself the whole game. By the way,
for just sucking.
Yeah, I give a thumbs up to Yappy, because what a crazy touch to bring it down at his hip. You know, ball played in from Colorado. Wallum gets crossed up, thumbs down to Wallum. Wallum gets walked, basically. Guy cuts inside, plays a pretty decent ball right to Yappy, brings it down with like, it's probably about halfway up, probably around his hips. Brings it down one touch away from goal. The touch is away from net. Yarrow's standing there, two thumbs down to Yarrow. Yarrow's standing there with his freaking head up his ass.
Ooh.
Has to try to recover. Yappy does like a little 180 turn. It looks like he just puts it in the bottom corner, but he actually probably hit it right at Berkey. And it goes off Yarrow's calf, corner of the net. Berkey, of course, was already down, expecting that ball to come towards him. Two thumbs down to Yarrow. Thumbs up to Yappy. Thumbs down to Wallum.
Okay.
Thumbs down to Toy Shirt.
Mike, how do you feel about the hot take of giving the person who scored the goal the thumbs up?
Yeah, if you score the goal, you get a thumbs up. If City would have scored a goal, I could have given somebody on City a thumbs up. But they all just stood there with their thumbs in their pockets, not scoring.
Ooh.
Somewhere else with that. You guys want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah. Of course.
Ty Baribo has two more goals than our entire roster.
Can we sign him? When's his contract in?
He has 13 goals this year in 14 games.
Yeah, damn, dude.
And Brian White from Vancouver has 10 goals in 11 games.
The most informed striker in the world, Brian White.
The thumbs up I will give to City players, Hartel, with that. He bungled the shot at the end. But in like the 64th or 65th,
That run,
65th minute, he had a run where he crossed up two Colorado players who almost ran into him, and then crossed up two more. And then as soon as he got to the top of the 18, he shot it into freaking row X. But good run though. That's probably the only City player today, maybe Bumgarle, that I'd give a thumbs up to for the game.
I would have went Bumgarle, Hartel. If I have my two thumbs to vote on, I would have voted for those two.
You get a two thumbs up if you score. I feel like if you're a City player, because at this point it's so rare. I'll give you a third thumb. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll give my thumbs up to Hartel and Wallum.
Okay. Just Like Bumgarl or what?
No, Bumgarl was cool, but he was a center man, so he's a, when Kessler's the center man, I think we look like a whole different team.
Yeah.
Maybe I just like Wallen.
I feel like you were pretty, I mean, not that we were shitting on Wallum early, but I feel like you were pretty early in Wallum shouldn't be at the wing back. I was on your side with that.
Yeah, six games in, I just didn't think Wallum was a good defender, so I just figured, I'm like, dude, he sucks. But then he played out on the wing, and I was like, oh, this guy's good. Why is he back there?
I guess that must have been before we realized Olaf has no idea what to do with these players.
Yeah. We just trusted Olaf knew what he was doing.
I refuse to believe that this roster is the third worst in the MLS. Refuse to believe it. And that's why it's like, I think it's fire Olaf. Realistically, he's definitely making it until Aston Villa. Like you said, Cole, that kind of is probably the only reason Aston Villa is coming over here. It's because Olaf's managing. But I don't think anybody can look at this roster and say, yep, that's the third worst team in the MLS. It's all coaching, in my opinion.
And I agree with that. And for those wondering, the Aston Villa game is July 30th. So we'd make it all that time with Olaf, and if things aren't changing and we're still losing 1-0 games and not making tweaks to the lineup, that's going to be a long couple months.
It's also 3 days before I said they'd can Olaf. I said Olaf would make it to Labor Day.
Oh my God. If you win that and he actually does get fired on, like, I'd say Labor Day weekend. If you get that, and I think that we need to reward you somehow. I don't know.
You guys are going to buy me sweet tickets to every home game next year?
Yeah, sure. Well, if they keep playing like this, we could probably at least do a supporter each game because it'll be $20. Well, boys, we can do a very brief recap of the guessing game because nobody got a point. I know I had 1-1, Berkey man of the match, I believe. Mike had 1-0 City, Berkey man of the match. Trevor was a 2-0 and Hartel. So we were 0-3. Trevor, you want to go ahead and give off the standings for the guessing game before we sign off?
I actually gave out the standings last time, so I can skip this time. You know what? I think they remember from last time. We can just skip.
Well, just in case they don't remember. So Mike and I, you know, we're tied at the top with 4 points. And Trevor, you only have 1 point, is that right? Or was that a typo?
I have 1 point, which feels like about the amount of goals City scored in the last 3 months.
It's only one less.
We're relying on either City winning or City scoring. So it'll be a very low scoring game.
I really got to just start predicting like 1-0 the other team and just when I did that,
you guys acted like I was
but when I did that, City fuck like drew or something. I can't remember. I feel like I've predicted a couple losses and I still don't have any points.
That's what I was just gonna say. To be self-aware, I have also predicted that they lose a lot and I've been wrong on the score and the goal score. Or if I say that they would score a goal, then they get skunked. So yeah, I haven't done much either. But honestly, fellas, I know we're gonna cutting it short this week, but do we have any other thoughts, anything else that we want to say before we kind of put this one in the books and then we'll worry about next week? Who do we have next week? I haven't even looked.
Next week we have San Jose. That is Saturday, May 31st at 1:30 p.m. Oof. So Saturday, a day game, which will be kind of a nice adjustment.
And does anyone know where San Jose is on the table?
They are eighth last time I checked, which was yesterday, so I can check real quick for you. They're eighth, 5-4, and
I don't know why.
Colorado.
Yep, and they've actually been in
the higher.
They were high. They were like top four for most of the season, and then they've just started to drop. But their recent form's not too bad. 2-0 win against Colorado, then a 3-3 draw versus Miami. 0-0 draw versus New England, 1-0 victory against Portland, then a 3-3 draw last week against Houston.
They've been
playing good. They have Yosef Martinez. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Yeah,
from Atlanta.
Former Atlanta United.
Yep. I think their biggest weak spot might just be their goaltending. Their goalie's like below a 5 rating on the year. Everybody else is above 6.6. So
your striker, who's not Martinez, Arango, has 9 goals in 13 appearances this year.
God dang, dude.
That's really fun stuff, I'm sure.
Two less than us as a team.
I'm sure we'll shut him down, too, and that won't continue.
More
sure.
than our leading scorer.
Yeah, their starting goalie, I think, is out till mid-June.
Is our leading scorer still Toy Shirt, or is it Klaus now?
Yeah, no, those Toy Shirt with 2.
Toy Shirt with 2.
That's crazy.
I don't even know. I think so. Wasn't it one of Hartel's a cup game? Or no? Top scorer, Hartel's got 2. Toy Shirt's got 3 in all competition.
Oh, my God. The fact we are complaining about Toy Shirt not having 3 games in a row with missed chances, and he's still our leading goal scorer.
One stat I'd like to see is we only have had 1 penalty shot this year. That can't be right. We have 1 penalty goal this year from Hartel. One pin seems like, you know, 11 games or 15 games in, it seems like not that many.
Well, it's because we're never actually sustaining an attack.
That's true. We do.
All we're doing is crossing the ball in.
Yeah, I've got to say exactly that.
Yeah. We are one of the lowest. We are one of the lowest touches in opponents, 18. So it makes sense, but it does still seem low. And then I still can't get over the one, Cole, if you remember the Open Cup game that Toysher got hit from behind and nothing. But
Yeah.
So I don't think we're getting many calls. We're also not in their 18, so that's what's going to happen.
How do we not have VAR in the Open Cup? I mean, it's 2025.
I think they did. They just didn't go to it. Isn't that right? Or did they not have VAR?
It's even worse.
I think they said on the broadcast, which was terrible, but that they didn't have it.
Dude.
Or they had it.
The color commentator on that broadcast was one of the worst I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
We sure to... He's going into the area. I'm like, dude, why does it sound like you are in pain? Okay, well,
next game versus San Jose. I'm just going to start predicting City losses so I can at least win the points game this year because I got to start making up some ground.
I'm going to shift back into the positive territory where I'm only predicting City wins, and then Trevor can kind of take my spot as the negativity of this podcast.
Until I get up to the points, then I can go back to being positive.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, we will see everyone. We are going to do a preview later this week, and then we will maybe have a delayed reaction after the San Jose game, but we will be back with a couple episodes this week and next week. Until then, guys, give us a follow at ICLPod on Twitter, at CSuttonCity, and until then, let's go all caps.